This week on What's Going On with Earl Ingram, Anissa Waleed from Milwaukee, a breast cancer survivor and advocate for women's breast cancer awareness, joins the show to discuss the history surrounding the disease, the signs and symptoms to watch for that may indicate breast cancer, how white and black women have the highest rate of breast cancer, yet men are at a higher risk of succumbing to it. Anissa shares her personal journey and emphasizes that breast cancer can affect anyone regardless of age. Don't miss it, airing on all platforms. Follow us on civicmedia.us or wherever you find your podcast. And please remember to like and share and subscribe so you don't miss the conversation. Beyond the sky. It's been a long. Welcome back to What's Going On with Earl Ingram. I'm always excited about having the opportunity to come before you with very germane and important information. Today is no different. I am joined by Sister Anissa Waleed, and we are going to be discussing breast cancer. Good morning to you, dear sister. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And how are you?
I'm doing just fine. Let's have at it. Breast cancer is generally considered the number two leading cause of cancer-related death for women in the United States, following lung cancer, which is the leading cause of cancer death. While it is the most commonly diagnosed cancer in women, excluding skin cancer, it is the second deadliest. Ranking breast cancer is the second leading cause of cancer death among women. Mortality rate. It is estimated that over 40,000 women in the U.S. die from breast cancer each year. Incidence. It is the most commonly diagnosed cancer in women, accounting for 30% of all new female cancers each year. Roughly 1 in 8 women in the United States will develop breast cancer in their lifetimes. Among Hispanic women in the U.S., breast cancer is the leading cause of death from cancer. So with that backdrop, dear Sister Anissa, it is really important that we have this conversation and dialogue, and I thank you for accepting the invitation to have this conversation on the show this morning. Let's talk a little bit about who you are, and your involvement with cancer.
Well, I'm a part of an organization called Sisters Can Survive. And in this organization, it is composed of women who are survivors of breast cancer. And we get together and we talk about things that have happened. When we get new ladies, they explain to us their journey. And we do activities, we do health fairs, both in the studio and out of into the community, to give information to the people that we see so that they can protect themselves.
You know, sister, we talk about Sister Anissa, we talk about breast cancer, and we talk about it with women. And you know, as I was doing a little research, I came to find out that, you know, every human being is born with breast tissue. And so breast cancer is not just a problem with women. It can also be a problem with men as well. Everyone is born with breast tissue.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, we don't hear much conversation about men and breast cancer, but it's there.
There should be more information on men and breast cancer. Men do not get breast cancer as much as women do, but they die more from it. and they die more from it because they, if they have a lump or if there's some irritation in the chest area, they play it off until it's too late. And so men should, and at this stage of the game, there are not enough men that know that they get breast cancer. I went to a program in October, and I always mention it, and there was a doctor there, but he came after I did in speaking. And then when I was leaving, the pastor of the church who had just left me, a group of men, they have a Saturday meeting with young men and old men at their church. And that was a missed opportunity to tell the men about breast cancer. There is an organization called Living Beyond Breast Cancer who has a brochure, and it's called Breast Cancer in Focus, and it's Breast Cancer in Men. And it breaks my heart that these men do not understand that they do get breast cancer. And when we're out, we have a wheel, and we ask the question, men don't have breasts, so they don't get breast cancer, true or false? And a lot of people say true. And then we have to explain that is false, you know. And so I enjoy going out and helping people and knowing that, to know that, yes, this is something to protect you.
So let me ask you, Sister Anissa, several things. So breast cancer today, if we go back 20 years mm-hmm. or even 30 years, breast cancer was almost always fatal. Yes. So there clearly have been some advancements in breast cancer and survival rates, and even if people can't be cured, there clearly has been some forward movement in study where their lives can be extended. How important is it to catch this at a very young age? And what age do you begin to start looking for breast cancer?
Well, I tell young ladies, because they come, teenagers, they come to my table, and I have a question for them, and that is, when is it time for you to start looking at and, your breasts? When is it time for you to pay attention? And the young girls, usually the teenagers, they say, oh, about 25 or 26. And the answer to that is, when you have breasts, then you start looking at your breast health. My first encounter with breast problems was when I was 11 years old. And fortunately, at that time, I found out that I have had fibrocystic disease. So I had to look at that and have examinations way before a lot of other people did, because of that problem. And it was rare, and it was something that I had surgery at Children's Hospital, and you see these programs where a person goes in and there's like 50 doctors in the room, and you're there, they're discussing you and the program that you're involved in. So breast cancer can come at any age. you know, as long as you have, as you said, chest tissue, it can come.
So, go ahead.
Another thing that I found out since I become a survivor, my doctor told me that a good deal of the time, people who get cancer, especially people that are melanated, they have vitamin D deficiency. And that is a thing that people should pay attention to.
So fibrocystic disease, what is fibrocystic disease?
It comes when you it comes when you have, if you can have cysts in your breast, and they look like, act like it might be a cancer. I had this lump in my breast, and it was large. It was like half of a tennis ball at 11 years old. And they removed it, and that's when they found out that I have that. And I had three other surgeries before I became an adult because of that. And it can be painful at times because of the, you know, they told me that I shouldn't have anything that has caffeine in it. So those kinds of things happened. And my first ones that I had, the lumps that I had, they had, the only thing that they had to remove it was surgery. But as the years went by and things changed, the surgeons could do it with a needle. Because cysts are filled with liquid, and that's what happened through the years. And then when I became 65, the lump that was there was not a cystitis lump. It was breast cancer.
So Sister Anissa, does heredity have any correlation with breast cancer?
Yes, it does. And there are relatives that they call first degree relatives, and that's your mother, that's your sister, anybody that is close to you. If they get cancer, there's a great possibility that you'll get it. So that's why you need to be more diligent when you have relatives that have had breast cancer, or any type of cancer.
You know, Sister Anissa, it's what is so, I guess, frustrating about this, and really most cancers and others, is that if they're caught early enough, they always say prevention. Detection is part of prevention. And so, you know, if you aren't, you know, even aware of it, that there are unfortunately women, far too many women in the society who aren't even aware of the fact that they may have breast cancer. They don't even get the message. And that's what's so heartbreaking about it is, you know, no matter how hard they try to publicize it, there's still just a large swath of women, both black and white and of all colors, who don't even know that they're in danger and that they could possibly have wound up with breast cancer. And so that to me is really amazing, that knowing what this is, that it's still not as, people aren't as informed as they should be.
It presents in different ways, not just lumps in your breast, but my first indication that something might have been wrong was I had pain and soreness under my arm at first. And I went in October to talk with my doctor, and he said that it was my deodorant. So I went home and I took the antibiotic that he gave me. And but there was still something that was telling me that something was wrong. So I went in to see, to have my mammogram in February of 2009, and there was something there. And they did a biopsy. And when they put the tissue in the tray, I knew that that was what it was. And it was a lump in my breast. And also there was one under my a lymph node under my arm that was also malignant. So you just never know. And when you know, if I had gone back in October of that of 2008, they would have caught it sooner. But mine was stage two when they found it again. So you just have to be careful. You also have to, like, you remember when Dr. Izzard was there the last time we talked? He said himself that he didn't talk to men about it. And so when I'm out at the tables, I always tell the men, ask your doctor for a clinical chest exam when you go in for your yearly checkup, so that there was a possibility that there was a lump there that you don't know about, or you just don't think it's anything.
So Sister Nisa, you said the first signs of your issue with breast cancer, you were 11 years old, and then you talked about 2009. Mm-hmm. So there were many years in between. Does that mean from the first diagnosis, does that mean that it had abated itself throughout all those years, and then all of a sudden it reappeared? Is that how it works?
Okay. No, it was different. The diagnosis that I got at 11 was different than the one that I got in 2009. The fibrocystic disease is something that you watch, but it's not breast cancer. But it can turn into something different if you don't watch it. Like most ladies, they say when you are 40, you should start having mammograms. Well, when I was 25, they said that I had to have yearly mammograms. So that was something that I watched for all of those years, thinking that this that was going on in 2009 was still fibrocystic disease, but it was cancer. So, and there was another thing that was different that I learned about, that there is a cancer that is particular to women of color, and it's called triple negative breast cancer. And at that time, it was harder to treat, but there have been quite a few advances in the treatment since 2009. So that in 17 years, they kept, you know, looking for ways to cure triple negative breast cancer.
So you use the verbiage cure. Is there a cure for breast cancer?
Yes, there are cures for, and they try different things for different types of breast cancer.
Because to hear that there's a cure for any cancer is that's pretty amazing. Because, you know, most cancers are incurable. So what has happened? And once they cure it, does it mean that it's completely gone, or can it come back? Cure means we've got it eradicated. So you can get it eradicated if you're fortunate, right? It's not that way for everybody. And if it's caught early enough.
Right. And some ladies even live with the medication after the cancer has metastasized. Meaning after it has gone to someplace else in your body. They have things nowadays that help with that. And if they say, oh, you have metastatic breast cancer, so you're gonna automatically die. But they just have things that allow you to live longer.
Does it always have to be once they've diagnosed a person with breast cancer that you have to lose the breasts? Because in many instances, because of vanity and because we live in the kind of world that we live in, there are probably women who are unwilling to have a breast removed for vanity reasons.
Well, the thing is you know, vanity or your life.
Yeah,
that's,
right.
That's the way it goes. And they have ways of reconstructing after the surgery, if you want to do that. And so there are ways of doing that as well. And then there are some ladies who have breast cancer in one breast, and if their money or if their insurance takes care of it, they have both of them removed, you know, because they are afraid that
the other one's going to.
Right.
Yeah. So. I mean, so many things. The research and the scientific advancement over the years, if you think about, you know, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, the advancement in technology and science has certainly been just amazing, and yet breast cancer is still the number two killer of women. And so the only thing that you can attribute that to is they don't get early diagnosed. And so I would say it's similar to men who wind up with prostate cancer and wind up dying because they've never had it checked out.
Right.
You know, I talked to so many men who've never had it checked out. And then by the time they've, you know, get it checked out, it's too late. So breast cancer is similar, I would take it.
Yes, it's they do it the same way. I remember I was really afraid. We were at a street health fair, and I had just got finished talking to one man about breast cancer. And this other man that was behind him, he heard me talking about it, and he came up to me and he said, well, he pulled back his, you know, how you push back your shirt to, you know, to see. He pushed back his shirt and Earl, the knot that he had on his chest was so big, I could see it from the inside of his shirt. And I told him, I said, sir, what you need to do right now is go to the nearest emergency room and have them check that out. You know, it could be nothing, but it could be something, you know. And so the things like that, they really bother you. You know, for someone in this day and age to not take care of themselves and not think that, oh, this, you know, men don't get breast cancer, so why should I, even bother with that stuff? But if you want to live, you should.
You know, Sister Nisa, over the years, I think back now, I think I've done a couple of radio shows with you and breast cancer. And I will say, you know, when we talk about men and the fact that men aren't getting, you know, diagnosed, or men aren't, you know, nobody's taking the time to even listen. I'm a guy who's, from the time I got to be, I don't know, 40 years old, whatever it was, I started going for prostate checkups and colon checkups, and so, but I've yet to have a breast cancer, a breast checkup. I mean, that's just, you know, this is kind of unheard of for men, right? And so the doctors and everybody else tell you at a certain age you need to have, you know, these things done as it relates to men and prostates, but not one doctor has ever told me in my 72 years of living about having a breast checkup.
Yeah, well, you know that the thing is, we asked if they ask men, or if they just do it. But what men have to do is they have to protect themselves, and they have to ask. The doctors are trained to feel your chest to see if there is something there. You can have a knot on your around your neckline. You can have, as I said, under your arm. One of the ladies in our organization, her cousin, he was watching a football game, and you know how you put your hands across your chest,
right?
When he did that, he felt a lump, and so he went in to see the doctor. And sure enough, it was breast cancer, and now he's gone. He was treated, but it was late, you know. And so we really need to do that. And if the doctor doesn't do that when you have your physical examination, you say to him, I've heard that men get breast cancer, and I would like you to do a clinical chest exam for me. And if he doesn't, go someplace else. you know, so they, because this is you, this is your life, and you can ask to be checked by your doctor.
So a clinical chest exam is comprised with what? How long does that take?
It takes just a few minutes. It takes less than 10 minutes. The doctors are trained to, and it's just feeling your chest to see if they feel something that shouldn't be there. And this, the doctors do this when it's not time for your mammogram, when you go in for a checkup, the doctors are trained to do educated feeling. That's what I would call it. And if they feel something, they can refer you to someone else.
You know, Sister Anissa, I just so happens tomorrow is my checkup with my doctor. Yes. And prior to this conversation, I'll tell you clearly, it's not mm-hmm. something that I would have even given the second thought. But since I'm going to see him tomorrow, I'm gonna have him perform that. And more times than not, you know, it's an assembly line. And so he sees you for 10 minutes or so, and then you don't see him again for another year. So a lot of this stuff, you've got to kind of yourself, right? You've got
to
take it upon yourself.
Advocate. You have to be your own advocate. Did you know Richard Roundtree?
Absolutely. Shaft, John Shaft.
Did you know, I'm sure you didn't know, but Beyonce's father had breast cancer 2 years ago. Well, I have a whole list of men who were breast cancer survivors. And so therefore, it's not something that's just for women. The men have to, as I said, you have to be your own advocate.
So, sister, I will tell you that I knew a guy who had the body of Adonis. He was an ex-pro football player. Mm-hmm. And then he became a bodybuilder, and he was chiseled and all muscle. And he died of breast cancer.
Yeah.
It was an unbelievable thing when I heard he died of breast cancer. I'm like, wait a minute. Did you see how this guy was? But none of those things matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could weigh 95 pounds or you could weigh 300 pounds and be all muscle. It's the same thing.
Right. Or you can be, you know, be like some guys who are 300 pounds and a little flabby. It can be there, you know. So and that's what my sister's cousin, that's what he was. He was a bodybuilder, and he passed away from that too. And so, we call our ladies who have been down the same road that we did. We call sisters because we've gone down the same road, and we work with each other and help each other, and also as many people as we can in the community.
So breast cancer survival.
Mm-hmm.
Breast cancer survival. Breast cancer survival. Breast cancer survival. So people need to understand that you can survive it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
There are people who think it's, you know, you can't survive it, but you guys are there in the flesh to tell people that it is survivable.
Right, right. We've had there's one lady in one organization, and she's been a survivor for 40 years. another lady in our organization. She's been a survivor for going on 30 years. So you can survive if you come out of that and you take care of yourself. And the main thing is, if you're not taking vitamin D, you need to do that, because, you know, we're melanated. There's not a lot of sun here, and we have to have vitamin D.
You know, I'm looking at some of the latest technologies, you know, the screening and the imaging techniques and all of these new advancements that they have in technology that they can detect, you know, early.
Right.
And but that requires people doing what? Seeking out and going and getting checked out, you know.
Yes.
Now, do you do this on, for instance, with prostate, it's different, but with breast cancer, how often do you go and see and have the imaging done? Or is it something that you will never have done unless, you know, they think that you may have it?
Well, they, you know, unless there is a problem, they have said that you should start getting mammograms when you're 40. But as I said, I had this problem, and I was getting mammograms at 25. And I saw the evolution of the mammogram machine, and it was different at that time. But also, there are free clinics that, you know, ladies can go if they don't have insurance. They can go and they can have that type of screening. There are places that you can go, like our organization, who have information that we can give to ladies about where they can go. There are organizations, once again, like Living Beyond Breast Cancer, the American Cancer Society, and a lot of the things that have happened in finding out about different things that can help you, they came from research that you can get involved in, and the people can be involved in that, and they can do testing. They didn't have, I hear, you know, on the TV at times that there's a new medication that helps with triple negative breast cancer that they didn't have when I had it. So it's the research that goes on that's also helpful for, you know, the trials that they have. If you can get involved in that, that helps the ladies, the people as well.
So, Sister Anissa, October is Breast Cancer Month, and so a lot of fanfare when Breast Cancer Month rolls around in October. Well, the last time I checked, there are 11 other months in a calendar year. So is it safe to say that during those other 11 months, we got to figure out a way to highlight that and not just focus all of it in 1 month?
Right. The breast cancer can come in any month of the year. And that's why we do what we do. The breast cancer health fairs that we do, we always include that in the health fairs. We always let people know that, okay, if you don't have this and you're concerned about it, and you should be concerned about it every day of the week, every month of the year, you should be concerned about this very deadly disease.
You know, Sister Anissa, I would say that it probably would make sense if, you know, and I know that it's not happening, but I would think that young girls, this would be something kind of like a rites of passage for young girls, that they would be taught this. And, you know, boys, yes, but mainly girls early on, that they would know that, look, this is something that, you know, is preventable. You know, it may not be preventable, but it clearly can not be your demise. Right. And so, and start talking to girls while they're young, while they're still girls, about this, and not wait until they're adult women. Is it safe to say that? Why would there not be conversations with girls about this?
Well, because nobody's.
I know. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, and that's why when I talk with the girls at street
events,
you know, on the streets or in an auditorium, if they come by and it's hopeful that their mother is or whoever is their caregiver is with them, to say to them, you know, have them check out, and I tell them, you know, my first when I was 11, this is what happened to me. So you're not too young to be examined, you know, and if there's nothing there, thank God. But if there is, you catch it and they can do something about it. You know, I think that in the schools, they should have assemblies where they talk about that type of cancer with girls. And then they have someone else to talk about that type of cancer with boys, you know, because just as this can happen to young girls, it also can happen to young boys as well.
You know, Sister, the fact that you and others have dedicated your lives to educating others is really kind of what it's all about, right? I mean, you know, if you can make a difference in one person's life, it all seems worthwhile. And you've been at this for a long time. You're going to continue to do it. And, you know, I'm always happy that you and I can have a conversation and a dialogue about this. Because, again, it doesn't even it makes zero sense. You know, some things you can't prevent, right? I mean, there's some cancers that I shouldn't say can't prevent, but there's some cancers that, you know, are just so horrible. And once they happen, you know, there is no surviving them. But this is one that can, you know, you can survive if people just know, right? If they just get the right information.
Yes, and that's why we chose the name for our organization as Sisters Can Survive, because they can if the right things happen when they find out that they have it.
Well, Sister, I want to thank you as always for your diligence, for your commitment, you and all the other sisters and all the other women like you who realize that I've been given a second opportunity in life for a reason. And you understand that. And so you work diligently to try to, you know, build the army, right? I mean, you got to build the army because you need an army to do this work.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, dear sister. It certainly won't be the last time. And how do people get in touch with you?
Well, our organization is, once again, I said Sisters Can Survive. The phone number is 414-807-5826.
Well, so the last thing I want to say to you is, and ask you is, you don't, when you first hear this, I got to think when the person first hears this, the first thing they do is start thinking of their mortality and start thinking that, oh, my life is over. And if you try to deal with that yourself, that's more than anyone should have to try to wrestle with, right? It's why it's so important that you hear from somebody else, right? Because otherwise, if you try to deal with this on your own, you know, just the pain of it, yes, the stress of it, it's self-defeating. And when you're talking about trying to recover, and you got all that going on, it's a hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is why we have, and our group is not the only support group in Milwaukee, but this is why it's a good idea if you have gone through that or if you're going through that to connect with a support group. Because we can go in that room and with a group of ladies that have been through what we have been through or are going through that, and we support each other, and we're there, and we can say, if you know, you just went through treatment, and it hasn't been a year yet. But you sit at a table and a lady says, I'm 20 years out, or I'm 30 years out, or I'm 15 years out. And you say, oh, my goodness, that is truly a blessing. You know, so it's I believe that's the reason why I was given some extra time. That's what I call it, extra time to help other people.
Well, sister, you're doing a great job of it. Keep up the good work. And certainly you and I will cross paths again. This is too powerful a message. And we got to do it again before October.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, dear sister. Love you.
Love you, too.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
All right. That's a wrap of what's going on with Earl Ingram.